From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. It's Tuesday morning. Ole Miss and Arkansas State tonight from Jonesboro, Arkansas. Ole Miss closing its non-conference portion of the season and a four-game road trip to close the regular season before heading to Hoover. The Rebels 39-13, 16-11 in the SEC, and trying to break the best mark under Mike Bianco for non-conference play tonight. A win would give them a 24-2 record in non-conference play this season. They've only lost one midweek game all year. That was to Mississippi State in Pearl a few weeks ago. So Red Wolves and Rebels tonight from Jonesboro. And today on the podcast, pretty cool show today on this Tuesday, especially for a day in May without a ton going on. We're going to talk to Austin Barber. You know him well as one of our political correspondents. He and Hogan Gidlier have been on our show a lot in the past. Hogan's a little more occupied right now. But Austin, the expert on Mississippi politics, and does a great job discussing the legalization of sports gambling at the state level. Mississippi way ahead of some of its neighboring states, and frankly, most states in the union in this regard. So we'll talk to Austin a lot about what it means, how fast this could happen, and what it means for Mississippi moving past that. Also today on the show, Travis Stone. He was the in-house announcer for the Kentucky Derby. A lot of you saw his pristine call of the Derby a couple weeks ago. It fascinated Neil and myself. So we talked to him this morning. How did he get his start? What was his preparation? How did he pull that off? We'll also play that clip for you on the show here in a minute. I'll have to find it because I have not done that yet. But I'll do.
And
it
we get his thoughts on the Preakness, which is Saturday.
Yeah, I kind of like horse racing. There's a part of me that kind of gets into horse racing a little bit. No real reason, but
it's funny with horse racing. I do two things. I enjoy it, yet I'm always at the end of every race when all the horses are okay. I'm like, okay, good, good.
Yeah.
I'm cheering for all of the horses to get through good.
Was it Barbaro?
Yeah.
Was that the horse?
That was tough.
Yeah. Was it Barbaro?
That was sickening. Made you just sick to your stomach.
Yeah. So, anyway. Oxford Exxon in Oxford, Highway 6 West. Speed Pass Plus. We talked about it yesterday. For the first 90 days, you get 10 cents off every tank of gas when you are 10 cents off a gallon for every tank of gas. When you use it, it makes it easy. All you do is take your cell phone, use it at the tank. Instead of, you know, card skimmers and somebody stealing your information, don't worry about that with SpeedPass. It sends a receipt. It pays directly from the app. With your smartphone, you get the good gas prices and the very, very clean, convenient stores of Blue Skies and Oxford Exxons throughout Mississippi. So take care of that with the SpeedPass. And again, we're coming to you in the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. Call the number 662-257-1900. Ask to speak to one Corey Clark. Once you get Corey on the phone, tell Corey what Ford you're interested in, what you're looking for. He'll send you a quote. You'll get that quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's really simple. It's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. Even for people like me, I was able to do it. I said, hey, here's what I'm looking for, and he knew it, and it happened quickly. So you can do the same thing. There's no hassle. There's no haggling. All your information's available, and then at that point, it's up to you. You can shop that quote around, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. 662-257-1900. And at the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts. $500 off your bottom line.
Again, tonight, 6:30 in Jonesboro, the probable starting pitchers for those two teams. Left-hander Jordan Fowler going for Ole Miss. He's 5-0 with a 4.08 ERA and 28.2 innings. That's a pretty solid first year in Oxford, and he will oppose right-hander Zachary Patterson of Arkansas State. He was also the starter in the Red Wolves' loss to the Rebels in Oxford earlier this season. Got banged around pretty good. He is 0-3 with a 7.50 ERA in 24 innings.
So I saw where Georgia had a game scheduled against, like, Sisters of the Poor A&M or something, and they said, you know, there's a chance it might rain sometime later this month. Let's cancel.
Oh, they called it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought, bully for you.
You know, that happens a lot when it's not one of these teams like Arkansas State you play every single year.
Yeah.
You know, it's you kind of keep that bridge unburned. But, yeah, if it was just some random game with St. Louis coming down for the day, you might go, hey, you know, we got the flu, the whole team.
Yeah.
We have the flu.
There's a 10% chance of a thunderstorm popping up. We really don't want to risk that. Now, let's get to the developing story in college baseball, which is the weather. There's a chance that weather really impacts stuff throughout the Southeast this coming
Georgia
weekend.
Georgia was supposed to play Presbyterian tonight.
Presbyterian.
The Blue Hose were hosed.
Yeah.
Hurting Presbyterian's RPI next week.
Yeah. So, Ole Miss plays in Tuscaloosa. A lot of rain in the forecast. It's a big series in Athens. A lot of rain in that forecast. How worried is everyone?
I mean, look. If you're Ole Miss, how many of your games Arkansas plays, you want to play that same number of games to keep your tiebreaker in effect with Arkansas, in my opinion. Unless you're just going to win all of them in case, play your games and win it. But
if you're Ole Miss, you're wanting to play the games.
Yeah, of course.
Because you're better than Alabama.
Yeah.
You're Arkansas, Georgia's a that's a different little load right there in Athens.
And you suck away from bomb.
I mean, you're kind of cheering for Mother Nature to just go ahead and express her wrath, aren't you?
Well, I mean, as I gave Colin credit yesterday, he did come up with the one scenario where Ole Miss could
And when you made fun of him, you're like, why are you wasting your time on that? And there you go.
Yeah, and it would be if let's see, it's
if A&M sweeps South Carolina, or no, South Carolina sweeps A&M.
Yeah, it's okay. Basically, the point is Ole Miss clinches a first-round bye with 2 of 3 at Tuscaloosa, unless there's one thing and there's one scenario, and that scenario is that Carolina sweeps A&M.
In College Station.
Yeah, and then Georgia and Arkansas play one game because of rain, and Georgia wins that one game.
The weather forecast is such that one game is possible.
Because it would eliminate the tiebreaker. It would keep Arkansas percentage points ahead of Ole Miss. It would move Georgia ahead of Ole Miss, and South Carolina would jump Ole Miss.
And it would put Ole Miss in that 5, which would be infuriating for me. Because
5 on a Tuesday,
on
too.
A Tuesday
so they play
night.
A crap team. Or they play State.
Yeah, and then if they win, they turn around and play another late game on Wednesday night. I
freaked you out a little bit.
Oh, I'm. Well, I just know my luck. This is my luck.
It's your luck. It's all on you.
Right. Okay. This is all about me. So I need those games to get played. In Athens, I need them playing 3 games. I need Ole Miss. Frankly, Ole Miss sweeping Alabama takes the pressure off all of this.
Okay.
So hotty freaking toddy, man. Go win games. People that go, oh, you're always against them. No, I'm for a sweep this weekend because that'll limit. There is no chance if Ole Miss sweeps Alabama that it plays on Tuesday. And frankly, I don't think there's any chance if Ole Miss sweeps Alabama that they could fall to the 4. And from a pure personal standpoint, I'm happy with the 2 or the 3.
You win 3 games and you're 19-11. You don't really care what anybody
else does. No worse than the 3.
Yeah, because Arkansas is going to figure out Georgia. I mean, those two are going to play at some point.
Someone's going to lose those games.
Yeah.
Someone's going to win
them. South Carolina can't catch you if you sweep.
So I'm cheering for a sweep. A sweep.
Rebels win 3 in Tuscaloosa, and they're golden.
I'm going out to a nice dinner on Wednesday night in Hoover. Not Hoover, but Birmingham.
Good one. Nice. There's a J. Alexander's that is fine. There's a Bonefish.
It's fine.
I said fine.
Yeah.
I was using a sarcastic tone, but it's fine.
It's fine in the sense that Chili's is fine.
It's better than that.
It's an upscale
Bonefish
Chili's.
Bonefish and J. Alexander's are better than Chili's.
Yeah, Bonefish is okay.
See, I prefer J. Alexander's to Bonefish.
Really?
Bonefish, I feel like I'm just getting, and I am, frozen fish.
You are. They put a nice little sauce on it.
Yeah, they didn't fly it in from the Gulf that morning.
No.
I mean, that's what there are media members, God bless you. They go, hey, let's go Bonefish, get some fresh fish. And I'm like, dude,
fish is not fresh.
It's like, sure you don't want to go to Styx and get some fresh tuna? I mean, it's like, and I know it makes me a jerk, but I just go, come on, guys, like, stop.
sports writers.
Yeah, geez. But I've had some. Jay Alexander's has been fun because it's reasonably priced. Everybody will kind of go. There's drinks. And you can get a decent enough steak, and they'll throw some crawfish sauce on there for you, and
it's all right. I'm cool
with my day. I'm a Jay Alexander's guy before a bonefish guy, just because I know the fish I'm eating is whatever it is. That's my problem.
Yeah.
Would you like it, you know, mango style? It's like, okay, fine. Throw it on there. Some sauce and some rice and some mangoes chopped up. I'm all good.
Yeah.
I do like their bang bang shrimp or dynamite shrimp or whatever it is.
It's good.
Just the fried shrimp with the sauce on it.
I mean, I'm not knocking bonefish. It's fine, but it's people act like it's elegant dining. It's not
either. It's not Highlands. It's not Bottega. It's not some of those things. I mean,
and so if Ole Miss plays the 9:30 game on Wednesday morning, I'm done writing by 3. 3:30 at the latest. I'm good. Go get a workout. Catch an Uber. All good.
You can get the dinner before the 9:30 game when they're the 4 or the 5. You can get back to the park in time for the game after dinner.
Yeah, but that's not really.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Have water with dinner. Cover a game.
It's not quite as much fun.
No. It's fine. Anyway.
So, get the sweep in Tuscaloosa and all is good.
Ryan Olenek nominated or a finalist or whatever for the Ferris Award given to the top player in Mississippi.
Who's the competition?
It's actually a good year. It's the kid at Delta State that's hitting 800 with 1,000 home runs and all that stuff. You're not impressed.
I'm impressed. I just would like to see him do it against SEC competition.
There's no way to compare them. I don't know. It's almost like the different eras of college baseball. Because, like, I was asked the other day, well, is Thomas Dilworth a better power hitter than Brian Pettway? And I go,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean,
I do know enough about SEC pitching to know that what Olenek has done is remarkable.
I mean, Olenek's hitting 400 overall and well over 400 in SEC play.
And I just know how quality SEC pitching is when you're seeing arms like Casey Mize and Brady Singer, and you're seeing quality arms all the time. Hitting 400 in the SEC is a difficult accomplishment. That's why no one does it.
So the 5 finalists are Zach Shannon of Delta State. That's the kid that's hit everything.
Okay.
Jake Mangum. He's not going to win, but he's had a great career.
He's a very good player.
Nick Sandlin at Southern, who's been dynamic.
He's had a great year.
He's been excellent.
Yeah.
He's been hurt a little bit, but he's been excellent.
Yes.
Luke Reynolds at Southern's been very good, and then Olenek. It's Sandlin, the kid at Delta State, and Olenek are the main 3.
See, I'm cool with Sandlin because their level of play is pretty strong at Southern Miss.
I'll give you the Cliff Notes versions of all of them if you'd like them before we move on. Mangum's hitting .342 with 76 hits, 19 doubles, 18 runs batted in, and 14 stolen bases.
He is an excellent baseball player.
Ryan Olenek is hitting .396 with 74 hits, 17 doubles, 3 home runs, 26 RBIs, and 8 stolen bases this season. And again, his SEC only is well over that. He's actually lower overall than he is against SEC competition.
He's had a phenomenal season in the best league in the country.
Yeah. Luke Reynolds is hitting .384 with 13 home runs. Pretty good.
Yeah.
It's Conference USA. They've got one contender.
Yeah.
Their contender is Nick Sandlin. He's a pitcher with a 1.15 ERA and a 7-0 record with 114 strikeouts and 78 innings.
Strong. And they play good teams.
His strikeout-to-walk ratio is 114-14.
Pretty good.
I'd have a hard time between Olenek and Sandlin.
The two that I would be considering would be those two.
And then these numbers do pop at you.
Yeah.
Zach Shannon, senior from Cincinnati, Ohio, .425 batting average with 29 home runs, 86 RBIs, 79 hits, slugging .989, and an on base of .523. So his
OPS is over 1,400.
Yeah. It's over 1,500.
1,500.
Big numbers.
But who do they play?
No, he's seeing tons of 88-mile-an-hour fastballs. So then you go, well, if Mangum and Olenek were in D2.
That's the part.
They're
So Olenek's hitting .400 against SEC teams. What would he do against? And conversely, what would the kid at Sandlin, what would he do if he got to pitch against those cats? Instead of a 1 ERA, he'd have like a .1 ERA?
That's a good point.
Instead of having 114 strikeouts in 70 innings, he'd have 160. 70 times 3 is 210. He'd have 195 strikeouts. I'm serious. Those guys aren't hitting him. I understand the quality of play that Southern. Again, I'm complimenting Southern Miss here, and Jake Mangum's a fantastic baseball player.
Yeah,
I'd vote for Mangum before I'd vote for the kid at Delta State because I know how
Mangum
good.
Mangum and Olynyk would torch D2 pitching.
Yes. If you put Jake Mangum on the Delta State team, he immediately becomes their best player right now. What would he hit if he played there? 520 by just showing up?
Oh, you think he hits 500?
Yes. He and Olynyk both hit 500. Because look what they're doing against SEC pitching.
Yeah, Olynyk had a 23-game hit streak in the meat of SEC play.
Jake Mangum has faced this year, he's faced Ryan Rollison, he's faced Casey Mize, he's about to face Singer and all those cats at Florida. He's faced the kids.
Wayne Knight at Arkansas.
Yeah, come on, night in and night out. Day in and day out, that's who he faces. And who when you're going against Mississippi State, who do you build your game plan? Okay, we got to stop Mangum, let's keep him off the bases.
Yeah.
Come on, stop. I'm voting for one of the three. I'm in order. I can't decide about the pitcher and Olynyk. I'm torn. And Mangum's third, and he's a close third
because
he's a damn good player. Reynolds is fourth, and the kid at Delta State is I invite him to the banquet and we brag about it, but I'm honest about it. Because if he were,
who do you think wins?
I'm going to guess that Mangum and Olynyk cancel each other out a little bit, and the pitcher at Southern Miss wins.
You think Sandlin wins?
That's my guess.
Scouts and coaches count for 90% of the vote.
What's he throw? Does he throw a lot of hard stuff?
He's a three-pitch guy. He's fine. He's a good player.
What do scouts think of Olynyk?
More college player than pro player, probably.
Yeah.
Incredibly athletic. Nobody's 100% sure what his position is, and he's not going to hit for power.
What do scouts think of Mangum? Very athletic.
Yeah, he's the guy that I think at worst sticks around as a fourth, fifth outfielder for 10 years at worst.
Be close.
Yeah. There's your Ferris Award nominees. I mean, I don't recall the small level baseball guy winning thinking back. I don't think it happens much in the Howell Trophy with basketball. I mean, Juan Joseph beat Orr in Parade Jerry that night in the Connerly Award. The most surprised guy in the room was Juan Joseph.
yeah, he went, wait, what? Yeah. I was just eating my chicken.
Yeah, sandwiched in between, God bless him, he actually passed away. But, yeah, sitting between two first-round picks and the quarterback at Millsaps took home the award, and it was.
You're not going to believe this, Mom.
But that was a cancel out thing, you know. You had some people that liked the small school kid, and then Orr and Jerry canceled out, and it was what it was. So anyway, all right, we're gonna get to in some interviews. We'll start with Austin Barber to talk Mississippi gambling here in a few minutes. Before we do that, I'll tell you to give Tyson Drugs a call. They're located in Holly Springs, but you can give them a shout at 662-252-2321 or go online at TysonDrugs.com. They have a great app to take care of all your pharmaceutical needs. You just give them your doctor's name, look at the prescriptions ready, deliver them to you wherever you are, and they're also now in Oxford as well. They are on South Lamar with G&M Pharmacy, and they deliver local with the same great hometown service.
Hey, Ole Miss fans living in or moving to Dallas, if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metroplex, give Lauren Valick Ferris with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's a call. Lauren is consistently ranked as a top agent producer in D Magazine, was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood, East Dallas area. So whether you're moving home, buying, selling, or referring a friend in one of the hottest housing and job markets in the country, you need a realtor who knows the town. That is Lauren Valick Ferris. Call her 469-867-1734 or go to her website, laurenandkelly.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, that kind of thing, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%. Terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. And the podcast is brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a good one when you get Gambrell and Associates. They handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando at 662-342-7700 or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
Now, Austin Barber on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Austin, good morning. The sports gambling news came down kind of as our show was ending yesterday. Neil sent out a joke tweet that, as I thought about it about 2 seconds later, I went, no, I'm completely wrong here. Mississippi is going to be incredibly happy about this news. You confirmed that a little bit later. So just tell me kind of why and what's up, what's next. Let's kind of get going into this a little bit.
Yeah, and thanks, guys, for having me. Always enjoy the opportunity to catch up with you two. This is a big day for Mississippi. Whether you're pro gaming or anti gaming, this is a big, big deal for Mississippi. It is a tremendous opportunity for our tourism economy. It is a tremendous opportunity and advantage for our gaming industry in Mississippi. No matter what you think, this decision by the United States Supreme Court yesterday, allowing people to now legally bet on football games, basketball games, hockey games, and God forbid, baseball games, it's going to change Mississippi. It really is. I mean, it's going to bring brand new tax revenues to Mississippi that could be, you know, in the tens of millions of dollars, maybe $100 million annually. And for those of us who drive on bad roads and bad bridges, that's a good thing in Mississippi.
How soon could this get going?
Oh, listen, I've talked to a lot of people. I won't say a lot of people. I've talked to a number of people who really know and understand this industry who say with 99% certainty, you're going to be able, you know, to bet on the first Ole Miss football game or the first NFL, preseason game if you're, you know, a terrible addict. in Mississippi, whether that's in Tunica or whether that's on the coast or in one of the casinos this year, 100% before the season starts. I shouldn't say 100, let's say 99%.
How many casinos and different things you think have got some plans in the back for a sports book already ready to go as soon as the word was given?
All of them.
Will you go Google how many casinos are there in Mississippi? And then whatever that number is, okay. That's the answer.
Gotcha.
But the honest answer to that, Chase, is they're going to all have to go at their own speed. Let's just use the Beau Rivage, for example. The Beau Rivage is an MGM property. MGM is obviously, you know, offering this service in Las Vegas. So it'll be very easy for them to get this set up. You know, my firm, we represent the Hard Rock Casino. It'll take the Hard Rock a little bit longer because they've got to go, and they don't offer this now. And so it'll take them a little bit longer, but they won't be far behind.
They probably should advertise it. I'm just thinking out loud. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. There's a lot of people, and I'm in this category, okay? I'm not really interested in going to a casino to play blackjack. I have nothing against people who do. Chase can vouch for this. I have I have friends who love to play slots and stuff. It's just not my thing. That said, the idea of going to a sports book and sitting there and having a couple of beers and putting $20 on the Lions against the Vikings for fun, that appeals to me far more. I would think I'm not alone in that regard. And I know there's no way to put a dollar figure on this, but from just a percentage guess in your mind, I mean, how much growth will this have for the gambling industry in the state?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up because I wanted to pivot to that here in just a second. I read this stat that just floored me, and I've got it right here. This is a stat from the American Gaming Association that came out yesterday or today. The AGA, the American Gaming Association, estimates at least $150 billion a year is gambled on sports in the U.S. But here's the kicker. 97% of that $150 billion was bet illegally.
Wow.
That just blew me away. It's hard for me to understand that, how big a number that is. So I think this is a tremendously big deal. It's no question. So now when you want to go, sometime in February or March or whenever it is, and you want to go bet on the Cubs to win the World Series and you want to take those odds, you can go to Tunica and do it. I guarantee you, you will drive to Tunica to go do that. You may kind of roll your eyes at me right now, but I bet you'll think about it.
Sure.
And while you're there, you'll eat at a restaurant. You may play golf. Well, for them, I hope you don't play golf. But you'll do something else over there.
Yeah, see,
that's just a big deal. It's a big deal.
See, that's kind of what I was thinking is, you know, where Jeffrey comes down or I go up and we go, hey, you know, March Madness is here. Where are we going to go? Well, now the answer is an hour north to the casino or, you know, west, whatever. And do the whole sports book thing because it's so close. But no, you hit the nail on the head. It is. It's going to revive Tunica National and some of the golf in that area because suddenly it's men and it's that demographic doing it. But I want to talk about your stat for a second because this is kind of where I was going last night a little bit in my head, and I couldn't come up with what I thought. And we're all speculating. But you mentioned 97% illegally. There's still going to be online books. Still a lot of people using Bovada and those things. I guess. Do you feel like habits change and people bet legally, or are we just talking about a new sect that begins betting because it is legal?
Well, I want to answer that. And Chase, I didn't fully answer what Neil said, which was what could this mean from a dollar standpoint to Mississippi? And Neil, one of the estimates that I heard yesterday was that it could mean $100 million in new tax revenues annually for Mississippi. And that's obviously a big number. I mean, 100 million. If it's 50% wrong and it's $50 million in new tax revenues, and that's a big, big deal, particularly for a state who's trying to figure out how we're going to pay for infrastructure moving forward, which is a principle and a priority for the state, but we hadn't done a very good job with it. And then your question, Chase, is, we just don't know yet.
Right.
And you know, when you start to – there's no question it's going to make an impact. There's no question that you're going to have people who are going to say, hey, yes, let's go, let's make a trip, let's turn it into a weekend, whether it's with March Madness. I hadn't even thought about March Madness. I mean, we all sort of immediately go to football. And let's go over there, and let's play golf, and let's eat at the restaurants, and let's do this. And let's go hit the craps tables while we're at it. All that's going to happen. And that's great. Tunica has struggled in a tremendous way trying to compete with the West Memphis Greyhound Park, for the lack of – I'm not sure exactly what it's called. But, you know, the facility in West Memphis. This is going to allow Tunica to now be able to go to, you know, the hundreds of thousands and millions of people that live in Memphis and say, come back to us. It breathes new life into Tunica and the casinos there.
And the ones on the coast, too. It completely opens up a new demographic for those casinos because I can't be the only person who's just sort of wired that way, that I don't have anything against blackjack and poker and stuff, but that's just not my thing. Yet you open up a sports book and I can hang in there, and on a Sunday I can take the Chargers +2.5 against the Rams. That's a whole different – sect of people.
And there's no doubt, Neil. And you think about your home state of Louisiana. In Louisiana, if you go and you read some of the newspapers there or the blogs this morning, I mean, it's like a funeral down there. Either there are some legislators or just, you know, Chamber of Commerce type people who are saying, this is going to hurt us. Mississippi has a huge jump on us. And then the Louisiana legislature, they can't get this passed. They tried to pass what Mississippi did last year, which, of course, was to legalize sportsbook betting in Mississippi. Of course, Mississippi did it very, very quietly. But now Louisiana cannot get it passed. The governor's saying, I may call a special session to bring this back in, to bring this up. But, you know, they are going to be way behind. So this is a big thing.
You and I have known each other for a while. We're good friends. You're not going to hurt my feelings if you call me very skeptical and very cynical. I would agree. So here comes the cynic in me. Why should I believe that the Mississippi legislature isn't going to look this gift horse in the eye and go, no, for the same reasons that we can never talk about a lottery here. No, we can't have this. This is going to take the money from the poor, and it's going to make us worse. And no, we can't do this. We've got to legislate morality here. Tell me, you know all these people. You know how it works. Tell me that cynicism and skepticism is unfounded.
Well, I understand why you would feel that way. But the thing that I can do is reassure you, this has already been passed in Mississippi. In 2017, when the legislature was dealing with how are we going to regulate fantasy sports, I just went blank. What is it called?
FanDuel and DraftKings and all
that. Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't ever do any of that. But when they were deciding how are we going to regulate them in Mississippi, they very quietly legalized the sports book in Mississippi. So this is done, you know, from a legislative procedure route, this is done. There is no going back. Obviously, they could go back and they could say, well, no, we're not going to do this. But they just have not done that on gaming issues in the past. You know, not from what the lottery, but once they have said we're going to have gaming in Mississippi, they've not ever gone back and said, okay, now we're going to take something away that we've legalized in the past. So I feel very strongly and secure with that decision that they made and how they did it. But then the other thing, Neil, is, you know, like every state or like every governmental entity, Mississippi needs more tax revenues. We have, you know, I just always point to infrastructure. We've got to do a better job of funding our infrastructure. So they are not going to want to lose these new tax revenues that Mississippi is going to see, that some estimate anywhere from $50 to $100 million a year.
Well, that was my next question. So let's split the difference between the $100 million and the $50 million. Let's call it $75 million, which for the state of Mississippi has to feel like an absolute manna from heaven, right? Where does that money go? Does it go all towards infrastructure?
Oh, no. It can go to wherever the legislature wants it to go. I always say infrastructure, because that is the sort of the big issue of the day now. That is the issue that during the 2018 legislative session, they did not get it. They did not get a solution passed out that was going to, you know, prescribe a plan to fix the infrastructure issues we have in the state. And there's been a lot of speculation around Jackson that the governor is going to call the legislature back in for a special session to say, all right, you guys got to go fix the plan. So I always talk about infrastructure. It could go to health care. It could go to mental health. It could go to education. It could be divided up into a number of things. Ultimately, it will go into the general fund with the rest of the gaming tax revenues that come in. But knowing how legislators think, I'm sure most of them are thinking, there's a good solution for our infrastructure problem.
So along those lines, I'm curious just kind of your thoughts. This is sort of a twofold question. Number one, when that money rolls in, let's just use $75 million for kicks and giggles. Is that okay? When $75
yes,
million dollars rolls in, that's the difference maker. Is there a chance that legislators at that point look at that $75 million and say, you know, maybe the lottery's not such a bad idea? And then along those lines, how hard would the gaming industry at that point lobby against a lottery in Mississippi?
Man, those are really, really good questions.
Chase is like, I hate you right now.
No, it's great. I'm curious what he says. Go ahead.
No, I think that let's go back 2 days before the Supreme Court ruled on this.
Okay.
Before this allowed Mississippi to bring in new tax revenues, I think the lottery was probably a pretty close thing to eventually happening the next time the legislature gets back together, gets the band back together, whether that's in a special session or a regular session. Because, again, how are we going to fund infrastructure? Well, they were going to look at the lottery and say, well, the lottery would bring in between $35 to $55 million that we could put, you know, directly put towards infrastructure. But now that they've got this, there may be, you've just got to be rolling your eyes at this, Neil, this logic. But now that they have, you know, this new surplus of revenues coming in, there may be some that go, well, let's don't do the lottery.
We've got this new fund.
Because listen, there are some that fundamentally oppose the lottery for different reasons. There are some that fundamentally oppose the lottery because they don't believe in it. They think it's morally wrong. There are some that fundamentally oppose the lottery because they think that the lottery brings no jobs, builds no buildings, and it ultimately just competes against the gaming industry. And then, of course, there are probably more, a majority, who actually think we should bring a lottery. So that's a very sort of long-winded, nuanced answer for me.
No, it's a good answer.
Left you frustrated.
No, well, it did leave me frustrated, but it was a good answer. It's one of those things where, and I'm not a Mississippian, but I've been here for 10 years. And I was in Jackson the other day, and I don't think I'm hurting anyone's feelings when I say Jackson needs an infusion of something, right? And you drive through the state and you know that you're having to compete to bring industry here, to bring a blue collar workforce here, to bring workers that would be here, so that you're trying to keep the brain drain from happening. You're trying to do all of these things, and at some point, and this is, and look, my next day as a legislator will be my first. At some point, in my opinion, you have to get competitive. You have to get creative. You have to say, I'll put it in football terms, if you're down 21-0 at the half and the run game's not working, might have to open it up and take some chances here. You know what I mean? I mean, and I think that's sort of sometimes where Mississippi is, and it's where people like me who don't necessarily know all of the history of each district or each county or all of that, look at it and say, I understand that there's maybe a moral opposition to certain things, but at some point, don't you have to put that aside in an attempt for the greater good? I think that's where the frustration comes in.
No, I totally understand that, and it's hard to disagree with where you're coming from on that. Hey, look, you know, of course, I was just like your partner there, born and raised in Mississippi, essentially lived here my whole life, born in the Mississippi Delta. We have parts of Mississippi that are doing really well. You guys are sitting in one of those areas right now.
Yes.
We've got parts of Mississippi that are not doing well. I'm sitting in it right now where I live in Jackson, Mississippi. And we've got other parts that just have generational issues. And that's mostly the Mississippi Delta. So we've got to figure out, this is sort of me getting on my soapbox. We have to figure out what are our priorities, figure out a way to fully fund those priorities, and figure out a way that we can take what's working in the right parts of the state and how can we use those types of things that are working in an Oxford or a Madison or a DeSoto County or the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and how can we learn from what we're doing well there and take those lessons to the Delta, take those lessons to, you know, some of the river counties that are really struggling down in the southwest part of the state, and help them, help those folks, and help change it, change the economy, change the attitudes there. But it's just, again, I always go back to, we just must fund and focus on our priorities, and that's infrastructure. That's a big one. People are not going to bring jobs here if they don't have ports, if they don't have rail, if they don't have bridges, if they don't have roads. That are not just average.
You mentioned.
Sorry, I'm now off my soapbox.
Oh no,
you got me there, Neil.
You're great. You mentioned
soapboxes are allowed here on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
Yeah.
You mentioned Louisiana at the beginning, but it's a benefit for Mississippi right now because it looks like there's concrete and quicksand everywhere around Mississippi. Alabama, is nowhere near passing this thing. They're fighting it tooth and nail. Tennessee's fighting it tooth and nail. I mean,
let me stop you right now. If you think that the fine people of Alabama would bet on an Alabama or exactly. Auburn football game, you have lost your mind, Parham.
Yeah, so point being, Mississippi is landlocked around states that are not going to get out of their own way for a little while on this thing.
Hey, let's talk about even bigger markets. Atlanta, Dallas, Houston. Those are huge markets that the casinos in Mississippi benefit a ton from. The panhandle of Florida. I mean, you're right. Chase, those places, they either don't have gambling right now, or they're in no rush to get there, or if you're in Louisiana, they're going to now struggle with trying to get this passed. So it's big news, and hopefully, Mississippi can really take advantage of this, whether it's for 6 months or for 6 years, that we've got an advantage over our neighboring states.
Is there a chance? I mean, given what you guys are saying, is there a chance that specifically the coast, just because of its geography, could become a little Las Vegas here?
I don't know. That's a big question. I don't know the answer to that. It certainly will be good. It certainly, there are some really nice casinos down there. Obviously, I'm pretty biased towards the Hard Rock, but you've got the Bar Vibes, you've got the Island View, you've got others that are down there.
It's good golf down there.
Bring more people. Good golf down there. No doubt about it. I'm not a big golfer, but obviously great restaurants down there. It's going to be great. It's going to be great for the economy there. And I'm just so happy for Tunica County. I know this is going to be a big deal. I mean, think of the exodus from Oxford, from the 21-year-old college kids heading to Tunica on when Ole Miss doesn't have a ball game, to go there and watch football and bet on games all weekend. We would have done that when we were in college.
I would have studied.
Well, you're a better man than me.
No, you're right. There's no question. It opens up a completely different entertainment venue. There's no doubt. I've long thought that. I mean, because when we were in Vegas for a Rivals convention thing, the part that looked fun to me was the sports books. And again, I'm not criticizing the people who love to sit at a slot machine or the craps tables or whatever. That's cool. I'm glad. Whatever makes you happy. I mean, I'm not criticizing it at all. But that, I've now said this four times in 20 minutes, that just does nothing for me. The sports books do, and there's no way I'm by myself on that.
Well, and this, of course, just allows the casinos to diversify a step further. And when you go and, you and some buddies go up there to go bet on football games just one weekend, just having fun, you guys are more likely that you're there to go to a craps table, to go to a blackjack table, to go to a slot machine. And that's obviously good for those casinos. But listen, I want to just spend just a second if I can. Y'all are very smart guys. You should go read some of what Justice Alito said. He wrote for the majority, which was 6-3 on some of these issues and 7-2 on a couple of the other issues. And yeah, he's a little bit smarter than me. I'm not a lawyer. I don't pretend to be. But some of the things that he said, I thought were just really simple, but smart and rational as well. Can I read y'all one of his quotes
real
quick?
Yeah.
So this is what he said is, one of the big reasons of why he said this was unconstitutional. And of course, this all just goes back to the 10th Amendment, which gives, states rights. And it was, quote, "It is as if federal officers were installed in state legislative chambers and were armed with the authority to stop legislators from voting on any offending proposals. A more direct affront to state sovereignty is not easy to imagine," said Justice Samuel Alito Jr., writing for the majority. So something about that that just kind of stuck with me, that he sees and understands that we shouldn't take states' rights away when they want to go do something that hasn't been prescribed as they can't do by the federal government.
Last thing, Austin, I'm curious here, and I'm asking for your speculative opinion, I guess. Is this a ruling that is potentially a gateway ruling to other things, whatever that thing is? Not just for Mississippi, but in general from a states' rights perspective of maybe getting some things
You're referring to things like legalized marijuana?
Whatever, marijuana. Just in general.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course, you know, all the pro-marijuana people are running around saying that. The people who want more legally assisted suicide options are saying that. Some, you know, gun rights activists are saying that. And I don't know. I think that we all tend, Chase, to get way ahead of ourselves. You know, when a legislature moves, Congress moves, the president says something, the Supreme Court says something of how it may impact or affect another issue that kind of has some similarities, but, you know, may be different. So
yeah.
I just would hate, I think it's probably way too early to try to know that. At least it is for me.
Well, appreciate it as always. During Ole Miss's bye week, we'll meet you in Tunica. We'll get Neil on the golf course at Tunica National, and we'll have a merry old time.
I'm for it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Later, Austin. Thanks to Austin for his perspective on the issue. I'd have been a little lost in the dark without him, so appreciate the minutes from him to get that as Mississippi appears poised for taking a big step from an economic level. We're gonna go to Travis Stone here in a few minutes. We're going to play his call from the Kentucky Derby. If you haven't watched the video, it's worth watching as well to see his poise, see how he handles this situation. Because as Neil said, I've never been to the Derby. I went to Dawn at the Downs in 2010. I think it's the year Super Saver won. And that was cool enough. I can't imagine what the Derby would be. Maybe I'll go at some point. Or be allowed to go at some point. It's incredible for people that understand the pressure on him, having to nail that as well as he did, the opportunity that he was given to do it, and then watch him pull it off. It's worth the 2 minutes. Again, we'll play the video for you, or play the audio for you in a couple minutes. But if you haven't watched the video, you should do that. Actually, let's go ahead and we'll do that right now. Let me find it. I had it up a minute ago. Let's see. Travis Stone, hang with me. Not like you're going anywhere.
If they're with us this long, they'll stay another 10 to 15 seconds.
I think so. Here, let me put on my headphones too so I can hear it and make sure the audio doesn't blare all you guys out in the head a little bit. All right, here's Travis Stone. He's our next guest, but here he is calling the 2018 Kentucky Derby won by Justified. So here we are.
Waiting for my boy Jack, Vino Rosso, Noble Indy, and Combatant. And with one of its deepest and most competitive runnings ever, and for the 144th time, here's the Kentucky Derby. They're in the gate. And they're off in the Kentucky Derby, and promises fulfilled. Great start, flawless as well for Justify coming out of the gate. Both Doros flashing speed on the outside, and so is Noble Indy, and Good Magic is not far behind either. Beneath the iconic twin spires for the first time, promises fulfilled out to set the pace. Justify is right there racing in second, Good Magic in behind while third. Both Doros racing in fourth, Flameway on the inside in fifth. Firenze Fire moves up to be sixth, Noble Indy is seventh. Mendelssohn is off the pace today, racing in eighth. Free Drop Billy down inside ninth. Audible pushed along in tenth. Bravazo is 11th. Entice is running along in 12th. Combatant is wide on the first turn in 13th. Magna Moon is 14th. Lone Sailor is 15th. Hofburg is at the back of the pack, racing in 16th by 3. Then we come back to Instilled Regard and Vino Rosso. Five or six more back to my boy Jack. Solomini is the last of them all. A brutal half mile in the slop in 45 and 3/5 seconds. And just like that, Justify seizes the lead with a half mile to go in the Kentucky Derby. Promises fulfilled, trying to keep up second and inside. Flameaway is not far behind, racing third. Bolt Burrows 3-1 in the far turn in fourth. Firenze fired on inside fifth. Champion Good Magic moves up one spot while wide on the far turn. Farther back, Bravazo starting to muster up a rally, going past Noble Indy. Audible starting to pick it up with three furlongs to go. Instilled Regards finding his best stride right as well. So is Vino Rosso on the far outside as they race for the top of the stretch with Justify the one to catch. Here comes Good Magic on the outside for the final quarter mile. Justify turns for home in front. Good Magic in a full-out drive with 3/16 to go. But Justify and Mike Smith are digging down on a two-length lead. Good Magic is wandering about the track from far behind Audible Rallies to be third. They're coming to the final 16th, and it's Justify and Good Magic and Audible. Justify in a two-length lead. Final try from Good Magic. All rise for Justify. The Kentucky Derby was never in doubt. Wins by 2.5. It's tight for second between Good Magic and Audible. Instilled Regard was fourth.
I'd have no prayer.
None. Oh, God, no.
None.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, he's incredible. Reached out to him. He was kind enough to give us some time to discuss his race. We found out that he calls a lot of races over the course of the year. So kind of some of what his background is. And then, again, we'll get you some tips for the Preakness and the Belmont from Travis as well. Before we go to him, I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com is the internet address to find out about their annual contracts that give you lawn care all year long. They also allow you some pressure washing options, including free pressure washing of your driveway and sidewalks. Get those looking great curbside for you as the spring and summer continues. Again, MasterCutsLawn.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals. We tell you about them all the time. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy Grass that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at RebelGrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX legacy realty agent. Been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab at the top left. Filter through by what you might be looking for. Those results are updated daily, so you can take some comfort in that. And then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. He'll take care of the rest. Now Travis Stone on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Travis, thanks so much for taking some time with us. I apologize for sending one message after another on Twitter. I really appreciate you taking some time in what I know is a busy time of the year for you.
I appreciate it. No, it's good to be here.
All right, so we watched, as everybody did, because it went viral, the video of your call of the Kentucky Derby, which was, quite frankly, freaking amazing. Because I don't know what I expected to see. I've never been to Churchill. I've never been to the Derby. I don't have, in my mind, really, an ability to comprehend how large the track is, what your view would be from the press box. And I guess I assumed you would have just copious notes in front of you. And I don't know why I would think that, honestly. But I watched the video, and it is amazing because the horses are within your naked eye field of vision for what appears to be a very short period of time. You've got the binoculars. You're not referencing your notes. You're holding something, but I can't tell that you're looking at it. The call is flawless. It's incredible. And I've watched it, man, I bet I've watched it 50 times. It's unbelievable. First of all, incredible job. Second of all, give us an idea of what your preparation for that call must be.
Sure. Well, I appreciate it. It was, you know, as a race caller, everybody wants to call the Kentucky Derby, so get the opportunity. It's a pretty cool moment. In terms of, so I'll give you a little bit of background on the setup that you saw there. So Churchill's a massive facility. Obviously, it's built to handle a crowd of 170,000+ people, and it's in an expanded sense. So we are in the booth a long way away from the horses. I would guess about six and a half floors up. And because the track is a mile long, I mean, at its farthest point, the horses are upwards of a quarter of a mile away from where my perch is. So the tools of the trade, like those binoculars, are what are called Canon image stabilizers. They have a really massive and large zoom, but they also have a stabilizer component that actually floats the image, so there's no shake. So you've got that, and what was around my neck is a little homemade device. That's the program with the colors of the jockey silks. And what that does is, if I'm in a bind or I can't quite remember a horse's name, or I can see, you know, maybe they're stacked across the track and I can see some pink silks, but you know, I can't really see the whole thing, I might quickly look down and have a reference point for what horse that is. But to be honest with you, in the Derby, there's really no time to look down. I do look down once or twice just to make sure I was calling the right horse, because the silk that Justify had on were on two other horses as well. And so I was just, you know, a little bit of a sanity check there at one point. But yeah, I mean, it's all about preparation and thinking things through and coming up with scenarios. On my iPad there, I probably had, I don't know how many pages of notes and thoughts and perspectives and ideas and concepts. And you just shove it all into your brain and you hope that when the time comes in the race, things come out the right way.
Did you instantly, I mean, it looked like you're kind of celebrating. Did you instantly know that you kind of hit it? I mean, what are the 20 seconds after this thing's over like?
Well, that's funny. So I turned around. So I had two friends in the booth, one of which was his first Derby, which is pretty cool. He got to sit in the booth and watch his first Derby up there with me. He was the one sitting down below. The one that was standing up, I quickly turned to, because he's one of those brutally honest friends and he would have told me if I screwed something up. So, you know, it's, when you're doing it, you have an idea of whether or not the call is going well. But in a race like the Derby, there is just so much adrenaline and your blood is pumping so fast. You don't remember much. And so I turned to him just like, hey, you know, as a sort of, how about that? How was it? Can you believe it? Just a little bit of every emotion rolled into one.
How many races do you call a year?
I call it just 70 days of racing at Churchill. So anywhere from probably shakes out between 800 and 1,000. I probably call,
wow,
I don't know, 15, 20,000 over the course of my career so far.
That is, I don't know why it's difficult for me to just comprehend it. The night before the Derby, do you sleep? Are you calm? I mean, what was that like for you? Because like you said, I mean, it's the pinnacle of your trade. I mean, being able to call the ultimate horse race. The people who are not horse racing fans watch the Kentucky Derby. I mean, it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. No, you're never calm Derby week. I actually go out of my way to try and stay calm and do things that prevent adrenaline from going too wild, too crazy in random examples. Whenever they come on the track for the Kentucky Derby, they play my old Kentucky home, which is a very sort of emotional moment for everybody there because, you know, it's the biggest horse race in the world and it's pretty cool and the whole crowd sings it. I don't listen to it though. I put my headphones on and I start looking at the horses, making sure I've got their silks down. So, you know, I try and avoid some of those emotional moments. And kind of a funny random story, but Churchill redesigned a bunch of parking this year. And so it was going to be a little bit helter-skelter getting into the track to park. And so I had my buddy drive because I don't have patience for traffic and things of that nature. So I said, I need you to drive. You need to talk to the parking attendants because if my blood pressure goes up, it's not going to be good. So I sat in the front seat and just like poked around on my phone while he meandered our way through the mess up was the parking setup this year. So it was, you know, that just a couple ways. And, you know, do I sleep? I, with the help of some ZQL, I get at least 6 hours, which is clutch.
I want to get to your career in a minute, how you got into this. But first, let me ask one more question on the call. It was, and I know obviously you've called every condition possible. When it is a muddy track, and that was a really muddy track, at least it looked like on television, does that hinder your ability to tell which horse is which?
I don't think there will ever be a Derby run in more horrendous conditions weather-wise. I mean, it was pouring, it was rain, it was starting to fog, there was a mist in the air. They were on the far turn, and the only way I can describe it is they're looking for orange sleeves, and all you see is brown sleeves because there's so much dirt on the jockey silks. I mean, it was, yeah, you know, if you can see 100% of the silks on a clear, sunny, or cloudy day, we could probably see 35 to 40% of the silks.
I don't know how you did it
during the Derby day.
I don't know how you did it.
It was getting dark, too. It was,
I was very lucky, to be honest with you. It was just, you know, all the right things happened. When I needed to see some sleeves or some caps or whatever, they were there. I guess you need a little bit of luck in the world, right? So it was intense.
It obviously not during the Derby or anything, but have you had instances during races where you had no idea who a horse was, or have you made some critical? I mean, you're amazing. I'm not trying to bring up a bunch of negatives here, but I'm just kind of curious if you had, you know, oh my God moments up there at times.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, and day in day out racing, you know, all sorts of stuff can happen. I've had fog roll in where I couldn't see the horses at all. there's been, you know, random mistakes here or there. I mean, race callers, we all make mistakes, several mistakes throughout the day. It's just only the, you know, anal retentive ones like myself get beaten up about it because most people don't notice, right? So it's the fast paced nature of a race call, but it's easy to make a little mistake here or there.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we're human.
I want to get to the Preakness in a minute. First, I'm curious, how did you become a race caller? How did you get to Kentucky? I know based on the telephone number that you have, which obviously I'm not giving out, but the telephone number that you have, that you spent some time in at Louisiana Downs, I'm guessing, in Bossier Shreveport. How did you get to this place?
I grew up in upstate New York, just north of Saratoga, a racetrack called Saratoga, which is one of the coolest racetracks in the world. It's probably the best racing for 40 days every summer. And so I just fell in love with the game and would come home as a kid and like pretend to race call. And one thing led to another. I wrote a letter to one of the greatest race callers of all time, Tom Durkin, asked him what I'm supposed to do. And he says, go study this and practice this. And so I did it. And I graduated from college in December 2005, got my first career opportunity 2 months later at Louisiana Downs. And so I moved from New York to Louisiana, spent seven or eight years there. And then my career like really accelerated quickly. In 1 year, I went from Louisiana to Monmouth Park in New Jersey to Aqueduct Racetrack in New York City and to Churchill Downs, all within the span of about a year. It was a quick ascent. It was, you know, pretty lucky timing wise. And so yeah, that's how we got to Churchill Downs. It's crazy how it worked out. There's, you know, times during those years in Louisiana, I was like, oh, maybe this is where I'm going to be for the rest of my life. But, you know, stayed patient, kept working at it, and here we are.
You probably went to Ruston a lot to party, I'm assuming.
No, it stayed pretty close. I mean, I enjoyed Louisiana. I met a lot of great people there. But it's just so hot.
I know it's
very hot.
North Louisiana is, and especially as you get close to Texas there in Shreveport, is just it's hard to describe. You get the worst of all heat. You get almost the beginning of like desert heat that you get in Texas, and yet you still get all the damn humidity. It's brutal.
Oh, you know, people would say that they're from Houston or they're from New Orleans and it's hot down there. And I was like, yeah, but you have a benefit of at least a little coastal air coming through. There's nothing in Shreveport, Bossier. It is. Imagine the hottest place you've ever been and then add 10 degrees. Oh, it's brutal.
All right, let's talk about the field. I agree with you. Let's talk about the field. Obviously, Justify won the Derby. He certainly looked like a very good horse. The way people talked about him, they talked about him being a great horse. He didn't race as a two-year-old. All that is the turnaround to the Preakness. How big of a challenge do you anticipate it will be for Justify?
So that's a great question, and you know, it's probably the million-dollar question, right? So, I mean, he is supremely talented, and he is the most talented horse in this crop, at least at this point by far. He did some pretty remarkable things in the Derby, and he's done it all in a very short amount of time. Now the question becomes whether or not he bounces out of the Derby and can return to that form in 2 weeks. If there's any trainer capable of making that happen, it's his trainer, Bob Baffert. But I'm sure if you followed it or read anything, he came out of the Derby with I believe what they called was a foot bruise, which was, I don't even know how to describe it. Maybe like a stub toe for humans where, you know, whenever his foot would hit the ground, it stung a little bit. So they had to treat that for a few days. So he didn't get back to the track right away. But by all accounts at Churchill this week, he's been galloping well and he's looked good. So it sounds like all systems go, and that's a problem for everybody else in the race. Good Magic, who was go ahead.
No, finish your thought. I'll ask in a second.
Yeah, Good Magic, who is second to him in the Derby, is going to try him again in the Preakness. And I don't blame trainer Chad Brown. It's the right move. But I'm sure, as you saw in the Derby, Good Magic won by 2 or 3 lengths. So Good Magic is going to need a 2 to 3 length swing between them. And it's hard to see it happening. I think the only thing that can get Justify beat is if he is just a little bit gassed from that Derby still and doesn't have his peak effort in the holster.
That's what I was going to ask you. Are there any horses expected to sit out the Preakness that would definitely challenge him in the Belmont after being a little more refreshed by skipping one?
Yeah, you know, not only is it hard to win these three races in 5 or 6 weeks, whatever it is, then you've got this added element of Derby horses being fresh. There are several. So there's Hofburg, who put in a good run at the Derby that's lightly raced and getting better. The horse that won this past weekend, he actually got scratched from the Derby because he was on the also eligible list, couldn't get in, was a Blended Citizen. He ran well the other day. So, I mean, Justify's going to have to bring his good stuff this weekend, and he's going to have to bring it back in 3 weeks. No two ways about it, because there's going to be a lot of fresh good horses. This is a very talented group. Like, the whole theme leading into the Derby was, this is one of the most talented groups we've ever seen. And so just because one horse is dominant doesn't mean there's not a lot of talent behind him. And they're going to be waiting for him. It's going to be a very interesting lead-up to the Belmont, you know, provided Justify gets through this weekend.
I've had some people tell me to watch for Diamond King. I see he's at 16-1. Any thoughts on him?
Well, I mean, he's sort of more of like a local East Coast-type horse, and those horses always seem to outrun their odds in the Derby a little bit, but at the end of the day, he's going to have to get a lot faster to beat Justify.
Gotcha.
The Preakness goes through Justify.
The Sport got a Triple Crown winner a couple of years ago. How much did that help the Sport to get that over with, or has it had any impact at all?
It's a great question. I think, you know, from a very high level, I don't think the people in horse racing that really know how the game works from a business standpoint and a marketing standpoint, they never bought into that feel that once we finally get a Triple Crown winner, racing will be, you know, back on top. I think racing, like many entertainment activities, I mean, this world is changing so fast. And just this week, sports betting came on board, right? So racing is going to have to continue to innovate and improve and figure out ways to tap into markets and you know, take care of their existing customers and stuff. So it's going to be a big challenge. You know, a race like the Kentucky Derby is definitely a beacon in it all, though, because it's an event that has grown. I mean, $250,000 has been on Kentucky Derby Day. It's just an insane amount of money on one day for one track. So, you know, did the Triple Crown save racing? No, but I don't think it would ever was expected to anyway. So racing, like many entities out there, it's going to have to keep innovating and getting better.
Well, Travis, thanks so much for the time. Really enjoyed it. Again, it was a phenomenal call on the Kentucky Derby. The two of us watched it over and over and over. It was really cool. So thanks so much for spending some time with us. Hope you have a great Preakness weekend.
I appreciate it. Enjoy the Preakness, and we'll see you at the Derby someday.
That'd be great.
Thanks, Travis. Thanks, Travis, for joining us this morning. The podcast is also brought to you by Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel, completely free service specializing in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations, taking the stress out of planning, taking care of fast pass, dining reservations, transportation, and more. As an expert in getting you out of line and onto more rides, no matter the crowds, and mention the podcast, and get a $25 Disney gift card for booking the vacation. You can find him for a free, no-obligation quote at brandon@keystodreamtravel.com or 901-634-8687 and ask about the free dining options maybe available to you.
Travis Stone, Austin Barber, and all other guests join us on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. At Billy's Pecans, they know the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, or tokens of goodwill for a referral. From 5 to 5,000 orders, they'll handle it all with expertise and excellence, all with their signature Southern style, with items at every price point. You simply can't choose wrong. Try the assorted gift bags, the party trio, the pecans and chocolate, or so many other delectable options there at Billy's Pecans. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, shipped fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans and more, and it couldn't be any more satisfying. It's BillysPecans.com, or you can call them at 1-800-624-7404. The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% APY, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try them once. You'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South Tailgating will set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one matches their customer service, their attention to detail. So whether you're coming up for one game or all seven games in Oxford or anything in between, get in touch with Kyle Thornton and the people at 7 South at 7southtailgating.com. Quick reminder that Mississippi Flood Football Club tryouts begin tomorrow. It's May the 16th at 5:30. And then Sunday, May the 20th at 3, both of those tryouts at beautiful FNC Park located in Oxford. Mississippi Flood Football is the Oxford-based club that has become North Mississippi's premier competitive soccer program. It's run by volunteers to provide a structured competitive environment for your child ranging from ages 8 to 19, both boys and girls. Contact Chuck Trost at 662-801-3783 with any questions. And Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
The lottery's tonight?
The lottery where they determine who picks where is tonight. Okay. Not the draft.
Yeah, I was confused. Okay.
Yeah, no,
the lottery is tonight. Okay. Yeah. I know the draft's not tonight.
Yeah, they'll run the ping pong balls tonight at halftime of the Boston-Cleveland game. I think it's halftime. Maybe it's before the game.
Oh, that's how they do that? Okay.
They usually do it at halftime.
Really?
Yeah.
Had no idea. Just curious.
We spend very little time on the NBA here for a reason. There's not a ton of NBA interest. I have an NBA criticism for you. I think the NBA's in some trouble.
Go ahead.
I do. Not in bad trouble, like, oh, God, the league's going to shut down or anything like that. The Warriors are winning the title.
Probably.
Barring an injury.
Yeah.
This is people do the David Stern, Adam Silver, most progressive league in the world, and it probably is. They do a great job with a lot of things. So the MLB could learn so many lessons from the NBA about social media. I mean, man, oh, man, oh, man.
Yeah, that's true.
But if I said to you today, how many teams have a realistic chance to win the Super Bowl next year? A realistic chance to win the Super Bowl. We'd name 10.
Yeah.
If I said to you right now, how many teams, roughly 40 games in, have a chance, a realistic chance, not a likelihood, but a chance to win the World Series?
I'd give you 8 or 10.
You'd say, well, right now, the Braves, the Nationals, the Cubs, the Cardinals,
Diamondbacks,
the Brewers, the Diamondbacks. You'd mention the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Indians. You'd mention the Twins.
The Angels.
The Angels, for sure. The Astros, of course. Yeah. That's a bunch of teams, Chase.
And didn't even mention L.A.
Didn't he mention the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Didn't he mention the Dodgers, who were one game away from being the champs last year?
Yeah.
I'm sure you could do the same exercise in hockey. I don't know enough about it to be able to say that, but I'm pretty sure you could.
Well, they just had an expansion team run through this thing.
Well, right now you would say, I mean, if we had done this a week ago, I would have said Predators, Jets, Las Vegas, Pittsburgh, Washington, whoever else is still in it. I mean, at least 6-7 teams. If you do this exercise in basketball right now, it's Warriors. If we did it for next year, who's the favorite to win the 2019 NBA Finals? I mean, who has a realistic chance to win the 2019 NBA Finals?
I'd get Golden State, Houston, and I'd get wherever LeBron is in Boston.
That's it. And if Golden State does to Houston what it appears that Golden State might do to Houston, I don't think you'd include Houston. That's not healthy.
The West Finals, by the way, are 1-1 between the Golden Knights and the Jets.
Okay.
The Golden Knights won 3-1.
Who's in the East Finals? It's Washington.
Washington and somebody.
Yeah. Toronto?
You can tell how much I pay attention
to this. I'm the same way.
Hold on. Tampa Bay.
Okay. That's not healthy for the NBA. Not healthy. I'll give you an example. I always use him as an example because he's just an 11-year-old kid. He goes, if Golden State wins it, I'm not keeping up with the NBA much next year, Dad. Because there's only so much that you can occupy your mind with. He's watching baseball. He watches professional soccer.
Playing a little devil's advocate, why is it a terrible thing for basketball, but it didn't hurt the baseball culture when the Yankees ran through it every year?
I don't know. Maybe it did.
Maybe so. I mean, I was much younger. I didn't have the beat on it that I do now.
It might have hurt it.
Okay.
One of the things that makes the NFL
– 98, 99, 2000. Yeah.
One of the things that makes the NFL great
– the tournament's awesome.
There's so many teams that can make the tournament, and once you make the tournament – hey, man, how many people were picking the Eagles to win the Super Bowl last year?
The Giants won that thing twice as sixth seed.
Yeah. But how many people going into last season said, you know what, man, I really like the Eagles to win the Super Bowl?
Not many.
Not many at all.
I mean, nobody had the Saints as potentially the best team in the NFL at the end of the regular season.
Right.
Minnesota with Case Keenum suddenly.
Yeah.
Fun tournament.
It's a great tournament. Baseball's a great tournament.
Yeah.
The NBA right now, as good as the action is, and man, the players are phenomenal. But it's a bad tournament. When they did not do, and I know people are going, oh, you're a Thunder fan. It's not about that. When they failed to smooth the cap over 2 years, they let this option remain in play, and it's not healthy for the league.
Somewhat a conversation just for the sake of a conversation, but, and I get the athletic nature of it. I'm not arguing your point at all. Is the action great if one team is so lopsided than the other? I mean, is it really?
Well, you know, what you had back in the 80s when everybody says was the golden age before Jordan, you had two great teams. They were great.
Lakers and Celtics.
But there were some other good teams.
Well, I mean,
Philly, the 76ers won a title with
Pistons
Doc.
Pistons won two, 88 and 89 and 90.
Well, that's what happened. The Pistons finally knocked off the Celtics. Lost to the Lakers and then beat the Lakers. And then the Bulls, fine. This is the part of the Jordan story that nobody ever tells. People, young people who didn't grow up with it, they think Jordan just came in and dominated. No. Jordan got his ass kicked by the Pistons for a few times before he finally got through it. And then they dominated.
No, the best PR for Jordan is that when he lost series, he lost the semifinals or the quarterfinals.
Right.
He didn't lose the finals.
Right. He couldn't get past the Pistons for a while. And then they got past him and they won.
Yeah.
And then they were dominant. I'm not doing the Jordan, LeBron
thing. By the way, ESPN Films and Netflix going in together for a 10-hour Michael Jordan miniseries that Jordan has okayed and is participating in.
I'll watch.
Yeah. Just heads up there. I saw it this morning.
But when I say the action, I mean just the athleticism. There's so many phenomenal athletes in the game. When you watch them, their skill is undeniable. But no, it's that game last night was entertaining for a half, yet you saw what was coming. It was not a, and if you watched it, I don't know how confident you are that Houston can win the series. Can they win a game? Yeah, win a game. Can they win the series? I don't know.
It feels 4-1.
Feels 4-1 to me too.
It feels 4-1. That's just kind of the way it, I don't know. And I didn't even watch any last night, but that's still just sort of how it feels. But we'll see. Anyway, thanks to Austin. Thanks to Travis today. Really cool show. Good show. As we move on to Wednesday, again, Ole Miss and Arkansas State tonight, 6:30 from lovely Jonesboro, Arkansas. There's a Chili's there that is phenomenal. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Peace.